Please turn your copy of God's Word to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, read verses 11 to 15. Hear the word of the Lord. Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. The word of the Lord. Please join me as we ask our Lord's blessing upon it. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have granted unto us this opportunity to receive once more that wonderful blessing from it. We ask now, Christ, that you would speak to us by your word and cause it to be blessed unto us by your Spirit, that we may go forth from this place growing in our love for you and all the more conformed to your likeness. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Having heard from the various readings earlier this evening and having sung from Psalm 22 in particular, we have heard and have confessed in song the horrific experience which Christ had on that night in which he led up to his crucifixion, on the day of his trial and of his crucifixion as well. And as we confessed in the songs of the agony which was his and yet ultimately his salvation, being brought forth unto newness of life, being raised from the dead, yet in this we likewise must necessarily ask of why is it that Christ had to die such a death as this? What brought him to such an end as this that would have the death and the trial and all the events surrounding it coming to this particular conclusion? This evening, we may even ask in this sense of why must the Son of Man be lifted up, as Jesus said in John chapter 3. We ask of why must he be lifted up, and Jesus tells us in verse 15, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. Our Lord, as he is speaking to Nicodemus, describes to him the earthly things that he may understand, and yet Nicodemus had not understood those things, namely that flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life, and that one must necessarily be born again according to the Spirit, as he had said earlier in the chapter. And yet here Jesus reminds him of a very familiar historical event, which Nicodemus would have known as a teacher of Israel, referring to Numbers chapter 21. In Numbers chapter 21, Moses records for us this particular event that happened as Israel was on the way to the promised land and as they were in the wilderness. In Numbers 21, verse 4, Moses records, then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against God and Moses, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Jesus, in describing to Nicodemus, had asked him if he did not understand the earthly things, how would he understand the heavenly things if he were to tell him? And he cites Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9, parenthetically, in many ways to describe to him the earthly things. In this picture of mankind in many ways writ small, we see Israel has come along out of Egypt by the strong right hand of the Lord, Verse 4, they become impatient because of the journey. It's a long way. It's a difficult path. And yet as they come along and they complain about the Lord and about the way and about Moses, no doubt, even going so far, we loathe this miserable food, a reference to the provision of the Lord for them, to manna, that heavenly bread, saying they loathe it. It's this terrible thing. And the Lord sends forth this terrible judgment upon them, these fiery serpents, and they strike the people, causing many of them to die, their bodies perishing because of the judgment the Lord had sent upon them. Because of what? Because of their sin. And as they sin, they cry out for salvation, and the Lord causes his prophet to make provision for them in this standard of a serpent being raised up, and this bronze serpent, that such that all who would look upon it would live. They would have physical salvation, the earthly thing. And as they looked upon it, if they did so, they would live, even going so far as to have this life. And yet, we know that they died along the way nonetheless, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It didn't give them life beyond salvation from that particular judgment. And so when Jesus is referencing this in John chapter 3 to describe to Nicodemus the earthly things, he is reminding him of the natural state of those who fall into sin, namely death. It's interesting that it is a serpent which is raised up on a standard, that serpent who had once caused Adam and Eve to stumble and fall into sin, is now this picture of those who will look on the serpent would have life. And yet Jesus, as he is referencing Numbers, says to them that, what? Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The typology present in Numbers is such that Jesus is saying that as Moses lifted up the serpent, so too must the Son of Man be lifted up. He must be lifted up in order that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. He is describing in Nicodemus the earthly things that he might understand the heavenly. To say that as Israel, if they looked upon the serpent, this bronze serpent, if they had been bitten, and they believed, they would have this physical healing. So too the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. The provision of the Lord once more. Why must the Son of Man be lifted up? Because of the estate of those who look upon him. Nicodemus is hearing of the time when Israel was in the wilderness and they were moving along and they were in the state of sin and misery, in this pain that no doubt was brought along by these fiery serpents, perhaps describing the venom of their bite. And they would look upon the serpent and be saved from their estate. And yet here, Nicodemus is hearing of this heavenly reality, or that which is most real, such that he is describing to him that which, if he does not understand the earthly, how could he understand the heavenly? Why must the Son of Man be lifted up? To bring them from that state of sin and misery into a state of salvation and of eternal life. It's the promise, the Lord's provision for his people. The Son of Man must be lifted up, as we heard in John 19 and in Matthew as well, so that those who look upon him might have eternal life. Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. Jesus, as described in John chapter 3, that just as Moses lifted up the serpent, so too must the Son of Man be lifted up. And in John chapter 6, that those who look upon the Son and believe, that they will have life eternal. And that he will raise them up himself on the last day. Whereas Moses raised up the serpent, and those who looked upon it and believed had life until they were brought to the end of their natural life, and they once more fell in the wilderness, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10. Yet here as well, we see furthermore that why must the Son of Man be lifted up? That he might grant unto his people eternal life, body and soul. That whereas Moses granted life in the land, so to speak. Jesus grants unto them life eternal, body and soul. He redeems them in their entirety as a person. And he will raise them up on the last day. Why must the Son of Man be lifted up? That he may grant unto his people life and life abundantly. And that he himself will raise them up on the last day. In this sense, as we sang in Psalm 22 of the experience of Jesus, and as he concludes in the psalm that he has been saved and that he is resting upon the Lord, so too may those who belong unto him and look unto the Son, verse 40 of John 6, and believes will have eternal life in Christ himself, will raise him up on the last day. This is a wonderful promise and provision, such that when we ask, why must the Son of Man be lifted up? That we might have life abundantly in his name. That he has redeemed us body and soul, and that we may look forward unto that day when he shall raise us from the dead. In this sense, it was necessary that we might look upon the Son and believe in him, but likewise that we may wait upon him. We may wait upon him as he waited upon the Lord for his vindication, as we heard in the Psalter. And that we too may look for that time in which he will raise us up. Why must he die? That he might first precede us into death and be raised. And likewise, he will raise us unto newness of life on the last day. That is why the Son of Man must be lifted up. That he might fulfill all that which was lacking. Fulfilling the law and the prophets. And by his Spirit, he shall raise us on the last day as well. That we may sing along with our Lord. In Psalm 22, of the greatness of our salvation, which has been wrought by the shedding of his own blood. In this sense, let us not complain like the Israelites in the wilderness at the length or ardor of the journey, but rather look unto our Lord, the author and perfecter of our faith. Please join me as we thank our Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that in the fullness of time you sent forth your beloved Son to redeem a people for your own possession. We thank you, Christ, that you are our elder brother, and that you have even been pleased to, by your Spirit, redeem unto yourself a people, and that you have caused us to receive eternal life for all those who look unto you for eternal life. We ask that by your Spirit, you would grow us in our confidence for those who are your children. And we ask, Lord, that as you continue to work among us, that you would be pleased to even add those who have yet to come into the fold, that you would regenerate them, and that you would cause them to likewise look unto the Son and to believe that they too might have eternal life in his name. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.